Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the name that at which someday every knee will bow, every tongue confess. We should proclaim that name. We should proclaim it from the highest point we can get to. As the Christmas song says, go tell it on the mountain. So we should do. This morning, we're going to follow through with that. We're going to talk about proclaiming the name of Jesus here on Well-Placed Faith. I'm Virgil Evans, your host for today. Brother Matt Burton could not be here today, so I'm here in his stead. I'm usually with him. But you're just going to be with me today, and we're going to look at proclaiming the name of Jesus. Well, the prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 52, verse 7, he says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings good news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voices of your watchmen, they lift up their voices, shouting for joy together. For every eye will see when the Lord returns to Zion." This is a period when Isaiah was writing this, a period of captivity, not yet exile. I believe Isaiah knew it was coming. In this book of Isaiah, and I'm not going to focus just on the book of Isaiah, because we're going to jump into the New Testament in just a moment, where one of the writers of the New Testament, who wrote most of the New Testament, yes, the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, he quotes this verse. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But here in Isaiah 52, it's past the 39-40 split. In Isaiah, there's 66 books. 39, changing into 40 chapter, is a definite division in the writing, just like the division in our Bibles between the Old Testament and New Testament. Isaiah proclaims judgment coming. He proclaims the what's coming to pass. He proclaims the impending punishment, if you will, for 39 chapters. It's not a real pleasing view. It does tell of a Savior, but it tells mostly of the execution of the penalties, execution of judgment. And it gets to chapter 40, and it says, now my people, you can rest. And it's just like the division, again, of our Bibles, the 39 Old Testament, 27 New. He said, comfort my people, says our God. And then here in chapter 52, he talks about what we're focusing on today. Telling, proclaiming, preaching the gospel, which is the good news. He said, and how precious on the mountain are the feet of those who do this. We understand that this analogy here, or this... Oh, I don't want to say metaphor, because I think he means it very literally. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those. They rode the Shoe Leather Express pretty much everywhere they went. They walked, in other words. And for one to climb to the mountain and proclaim this message from the highest point. Paul said, later he quotes this, but Isaiah says, beautiful are those feet. Those feet are beautiful that carry the messenger to the hill, to the top of the mountain. No, there's not much pretty about most feet. And especially in days where you wore sandals and walked everywhere you went. I'm sure their feet were calloused and dirty, and you can just imagine. And yet, how beautiful is that? Well, what does it look like at the end of the day when the gospel is shared? What does it take for the gospel to be carried? You know the old Christmas song, I wish I could sing better, I would sing for you. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And that is the message, and the message of the New Testament. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Again, if you will turn with me to Romans chapter 10, we'll read where the Apostle Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah. The Apostle Paul writes here in chapter 10, I'm going to read this and then we'll back up some. I'll give you a little more of the context. He says in 10:14, but how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe without hearing about him? How can they hear without a preacher? And oh, Christian, if that does not make your heart long, your soul burn to carry this gospel message forth, then I want you to listen to me. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, Paul writes, how welcome are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. But all did not obey the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, they did. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and to their words to the ends, and their words to the ends of the inhabited world. But I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that lacks understanding. And Isaiah says boldly, Paul writes, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have spread out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people. And no, Paul's not just bashing the Jews, the nation of Israel, but yes, he is calling them to the forefront. He is calling them to toe the line. He is getting their attention. Because who formerly had been known as God's people in this Old Testament, in this time of the writing of Isaiah, as I said, in the switch from Old Testament to new type of writing, one of the first things that God says is, comfort, comfort my people. My people, says our God. God raised up a people out of Abraham. Out of the bosom of Abraham. The seed of Abraham multiplied and multiplied. And God wanted those, he made a covenant with Abraham. And God wanted those people to be His. And you know, the whole time they rejected Him. And that's why it is good when we hear the gospel, how God has made. He says, Isaiah says boldly, I was found by those who were not looking for me, in verse 20 of Romans 10. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. Folks, He loved us before we loved Him. God is seeking you today. I am faith believing today in this studio. And I want to announce to you, announce to my brother Dave here. I said we weren't taking calls, but I'm going to give an invitation at the end of this show for you, if you to call in if you have received Jesus today, or if you have turned your life over to Him. I'm making a plea to you today. I'm announcing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. And in faith believing, I know that someone will come to Jesus today through this show. Maybe they'll listen to it on the Chirbit when we get it on Chirbit and share it on Facebook. Maybe they'll somehow in the archives, but I am sure that God's message does not turn back void, and I am giving you opportunity today. Listen to my words today. Listen to the Word of God. As we get into this, I know that someone is out there who needs to give their life to the Lord. Maybe you're the one who says, well, I said a prayer years ago when I was a kid. I went forward, whatever. Well, have you turned your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you given God your all? Have you became one of God's? Because if you have, if you do today, even the nation of Israel will be jealous, even today. Because you know the true God. Yes, you know the true God who has given us His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that to you. Let me read what is the precursor for Romans 10:14 through 21, which I have read. Let me read the prologue to that. Romans 10, I'm going to start in verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation. I can testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, because they have disregarded the righteousness from God and attempted to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted to God's righteousness. Oh, brother, sister, if you have not just completely submitted your life to today, I'm calling upon you to do so. I'm calling upon you to take a knee, whether it is actually take a knee or whether you're driving down the road or whether you're maybe even at work, listen to this, whatever. I'm asking you to take the knee and profess what I'm about to tell you in just a moment. I'm going to read it from Scripture. I'm not going to make up something, some incantation. I'm going to read it from Scripture in just a moment, because in verse 4, Paul says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is from the law. The one who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith speaks like this. Do not say in your heart, who will go up to heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will go down to the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. On the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. And to proclaim it is what I'm doing today, what you can do, folks. What a Christian is called to do, every Christian is called to proclaim. Many of our old translations say preach, and that's a fine translation, to preach the gospel. But to proclaim it, you know, anyone can proclaim. And Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. Now the scripture says, no one who believes on him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, since the same Lord is all of all, is rich to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is the gospel message that needs to be proclaimed from the mountaintops. And folks, that's why I'm here today. And that's why we have shows like Well Placed Faith, the Gospel Vehicle Broadcast that I'm the host of on Sunday. And Brother Matt, he couldn't be here today for Well Placed Faith, but you know, his heart for this is the same as mine. We're in partnership here in proclaiming, and this is one way that we have felt God has led us to, and we have a partner in this, Brother Nathaniel. I know he don't want his name mentioned, he tries to stay in the background, but I'll tell you, he's part of our team. There's a trio here behind getting this message over the airwaves, getting this at the highest point that we're available to. We're going to the top of the biggest mountain that we know about right here, KCXL 102.9, 1140 a.m. You know, 102.9 is pretty high up on the scale there. We're going up as high as we can get here. It's going out, you know, from these towers high in the air. It's going across the airwaves. The message is coming out. We are proclaiming to you today, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, and it's reiterated here, you will be saved. It's not you might be saved, you could be saved, you should be saved, or you would be saved. It's not shoulda, woulda, coulda. It is you will be saved. And that's why I said earlier, I know that someone will hear this message. Because it's not Virgil doing it. It's not Virgil's writing. I'm reading it straight from Scripture here. But yet it's the Lord's writing in His Spirit that empowers us to proclaim it. It's the Lord's Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who has provided this opportunity. And He's the one empowering this message today. And it's Him who goes through the airwaves. He has no limitations. He can go through your door. He can speak to your heart. He's right now knocking on the door of your heart. You say, oh, I'm not opening my door for anybody. Well, I'll tell you, I've knocked on a lot of doors, and I know that Holy Spirit can go where I can't. Did you hear me? I've knocked on a lot of doors to tell people about Jesus. A lot of them don't open, and I sometimes know there's people in there, but that's fine, because that same Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, if you're one of those people, that's fine, you turn Virgil away, but as I'm leaving, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, go through that door. Go and speak to him, because I can't get in, but you can. That's where I place my faith. He said, you will be saved if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart. It's not only confessing him. A lot of people give him lip service. I can get lip service for Jesus almost anywhere. Almost anywhere. But the ones who believe in their heart. And you say, oh, well, you're talking about those church people. Well, yeah, I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about people on the street. I'm talking about people may not even go to church. Maybe this message is encourage them to get with believers and start growing. Maybe I'm talking to the one who's been sitting on a church pew and never really believed in their heart. They've just confessed with their mouth. Wake up! You're not saved if you have not confessed him with your mouth and believed in your heart. But then it says, you will be saved. It says, with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. Again, this is New Testament writing here. The book of Romans. The book of Romans, one of the first, I think maybe the first book, letter, excuse me, book or letter, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, who he hadn't had opportunity to visit, but he gets the opportunity a little later to visit. Yes, Paul, one or two of his missionary journeys were state-funded. And what do I mean by that? I mean he was a prisoner. He was going to Caesar. He had made his plea to Caesar at one point as to whether he was guilty of anything or not, because the church people had ridiculed him, because the church people had him in prison, because the religious people, and I'm saying church people, what I'm saying is religious people, the ones who just confess things with their mouth, but they don't believe in Jesus in their heart. And Paul took his case to the highest court, to Caesar, and they hauled him there. But before that, he wrote this book of Romans, this letter, this epistle is what it is. An epistle is a letter. And he wrote this epistle to the Romans. And it's written in first century Greek. But yet he's teaching them the Hebrew mindset. He's teaching them the Hebrew terminologies. He is training them in what Scripture says, because he is borrowing, as we just read about how he borrowed from Isaiah a couple different spots here, but how welcome are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. Straight from the book of Isaiah. And then he quotes Isaiah again shortly after that. But what Paul is teaching him, if you confess with your mouth, if you speak this and it's from the overflow of your heart, and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. In the Hebrew mindset that Paul is relaying from the Old Testament to these New Testament Greeks, who really had not much idea of what it meant to be a Hebrew or the Old Testament, but Paul is using the concept that they used, because in the Hebrew mindset, they looked at things different. You know, we're in a Western society. We're in the Western Hemisphere, and we're over here in the United States of America, and we have taken that, and we have placed our ideology and our Western mindset on top of everything, and we've tried to make it fit in our little box. We've taken this circle and tried to shove it into a box and make it fit. But to the Hebrew, and as Paul's relaying this, to the Hebrew, your mind, your head was just a circuit board. It was just a junction box, if you will. Your brain up here, that wasn't, it was just the hard drive, Dave. It was just the circuit board. It was just the motherboard, your mind, your brain. It just relayed, it's just, again, a relay center. But your heart in the Hebrew mindset, you thought with your heart. Your heart expressed what you thought. And your feelings, your emotions came from your guts. You know that feeling when you get in your guts when things are going bad or they're going great. You know, you get to laughing so hard at something. It's funny, you can feel it in your belly, you know. Or something is so disturbing, your guts knotted up. That's what they talked about. Emotions came from the guts, from your belly. But your thinking was from your heart. And I'm not talking about just the organ of your heart, but I'm talking about the sense of your heart, the overflow of your emotions, what you're made out of, your true being, your innermost man, your innermost woman, your innermost being. They focus on, they realize it, you know, in the Hebrew context, which just comes from Isaiah, so I'm not out of line here, is that they were living being and there was something too. They valued life, just, you know, at least the life within them. And God help us, we've fallen away in our society even from valuing the spark of life that's within us. But instead, they said you think with your heart. You process with your heart. The overflow of your being, the what comes out of you, what you're made out of, comes out of your heart. And that's why Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. It's not just a head thing, people. It's not just a head thing. If that's all you have is a head knowledge of Jesus, and I'm praying right now that you make things right. If you only know about Jesus, if you can only tell me facts about Jesus, I'm telling you, get your heart right. Confess to Him that He is Lord and confess to Him your sins. Make Him your Lord and Savior today, because it will result. You're confessing with your mouth will result, and believing in your heart will result in salvation. It will result in salvation. No one who believes on Him will be put to shame. We hear a lot of talk about Christians today, and you know, we as Americans, we sit here and we watch the news about these Christians being persecuted across the world. Oh, I'm so glad it's them and not me. I'm so glad we don't have that here. Oh, those poor Christians over there. Oh, what, you know, they must just feel so bad. They must just, you know, live in fear every day. No. I'd venture to say we live in fear more than they do. We live in denial of fear is what we do. But when it, you know, I hate to really believe much of what I see on the mainstream media, but when they show these, you know, one of the latest escapades of ISIS marching the 20 Christians or 21 Christians, you know, I don't doubt that they're persecuting Christians, killing Christians. I don't doubt that at all. I just know how the media works, and they pollute, and they, you know, distort things. But when it shows them, and I have no doubt that ISIS is killing Christians. But these Christians, if you'll notice, you know, I've heard so many people comment, oh, look, they're just marching along. You know, they're not put to shame. They know if they're Christian, if they have believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they know that this life really is just a vapor to them. If ISIS kills them, they're going to send them straight to glory. And then glory meets glory. No, we shouldn't be tempting God to die, yet that is our greatest reward today, is to die and be in the presence of Almighty God because of Him. This is part of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross. On the third day, He rose again. He's alive today. His body got up and walked out of that tomb. He's alive, He's alive, He's alive. And He is with His Father today, waiting for the appropriate time. I don't know if it's today, tomorrow, or 1,000 years. I can't tell you, but I know He's coming. I don't care. I do. I wish. I beg and plead, Lord, come back tomorrow, come back today. But only God the Father knows when the time will be that He shall set things right. But until then, we are called to proclaim the good news on the mountaintop. Again, get to the highest situated spot you can be. And I'm not saying this just literally, but if you want to take it literally, climb on top of your house, wherever the highest spot you can get to announce the gospel is. Or, you know, even help us. You can send a donation if you want to help in that way to Well Placed Faith. Just send it straight to KCXL. We don't mind a donor. Don't put Well Placed Faith on it. Put KCXL and say, I want this to go to the broadcast. We're not here asking for money, but if that's the way that you can do it, hey, great. Join in with us. If that's how you proclaim the gospel, if that's the highest mountain that you can reach today, then hey, jump on the wagon here. Because as, you know, my Sunday show that I use the preaching show on Sunday, and hey, you say, well, it sounds like a preaching show today. Well, it is. I don't know how to do anything else. Just the Spirit of the Lord just goes to bubbling up in me when the Word of God becomes alive through the reading of it. And the Holy Spirit just, man, He just takes over. I just want to roll with it. I just want to fly with it. I just want to let you know what God is. I just want to let the expression, I just want to let it come out. No, my feet ain't pretty either. But Paul said, you know, welcome or beautiful on the mountain, as Isaiah said, are the feet of those who bring the good news. Maybe in that way my feet are beautiful if they carry me. There's not really much about me that's beautiful. But the message of God, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is beautiful. And that's what purifies me. That's what makes me holy in His sight. You say, oh, you said you're holy. Yeah, through Jesus, and that's it. You know, again, as Paul is relaying the thoughts and the mindset, the heart of the prophet, but he's bringing it into New Testament context. Jesus, at this time, at the point that Paul is writing this, is writing, Jesus has already come, lived, died, was crucified, buried, risen again, and ascended back to heaven. And Paul's just waiting for His return, but he is preparing. He is proclaiming. Again, I said proclaiming. It is a good word. And preaching, it's also the same word there. But, you know, today we say in our church settings, you know, some have women pastors, some don't. Some, you know, some of the women may say, well, I'm just a woman. I'm not called to preach the gospel. Well, I'm telling you, you're a child of God and you're called to proclaim the gospel. Here it is. If preaching rules you out, then proclaiming does not. And if you're a woman preaching the gospel, more power to you. Preach the good news. And shame will not come to you for preaching the good news. You know, if we stuck more to preaching the good news and less about self-help and self-denial or you know, what we can do about ourselves, how we can fix ourselves and preach the good news to the world. Preach outside of our churches. Then we could turn this thing on its head. And that's what Paul was talking about. Beautiful are the feet that carries it outside of the building, carries it up on the mountaintop and proclaims it from wherever they can. The proclaiming is the preaching of the gospel. We have to speak this forth. God has chosen us to be gospel vehicles. Yes, I'm plugging the gospel vehicle because that's why I named it the Gospel Vehicle Broadcast. That's why the Ministry Machine Evangelistic Association, the website is gospelvehicle.net. That's why my email address is gospelvehicle@gmail.com. Also, you can reach us at wellplacedfaith.com, wellplacedfaith@yahoo.com. You know, we want to be as accessible as we can, but we want to proclaim the good news. We want to be the heralds. We want to be the ones going and telling it on the mountaintop. And it's talking about, you know, the feet that carry them to the mountaintop are beautiful. And it's just giving you an allegory. It's just painting you a picture of how beautiful, how something so, you know, rudimentary as feet and dirty feet can be made beautiful because it's carried the message forward. And you Christian, you are God's vehicle. You are how God has chosen to spread His word. It's not just the pastor at the church you give tithes and offerings to. It's you. It's us. It's collectively us. Because God is talking about a people. It wasn't just Abraham, wasn't just Isaac, and it wasn't just Jacob that was called Israel. It wasn't just one person, but a nation, a group of people. And I'm not talking about modern day Israel. I am talking about the Israel of God, mentioned in the Galatians. The ones who have confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believed in their heart. The saved ones who gather together. Folks, that's what it means to have church for the saved ones to gather together. If I could cry out any other message than the gospel, it's the message that God's people get together and do the work of the gospel. Maybe I should cry that more. And then maybe the gospel would go out more. But that's why we assemble. That's why we gather together. That's why we do the work of one. And Paul just drives this point home over and over and over. As he starts chapter 10, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation. And he's speaking to many. It's multiple you. It's you plural. Brothers, you. And God says, or Isaiah boldly said, I was found by those who were looking for me. Those ones, those multiples, those multitudes. But he says to Israel, the nation of Israel, the ones he has wanted for, he has pleaded with, the ones he has made covenant with, he says in verse 21 of chapter 10, all day long I have spread out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people. You know what? If there's a message I could cry out, if somehow this reaches the ears of the Israelite today, or ethnic Jew, or the citizen of Israel, is that Jesus saves. Jesus will bring you. He is the Messiah. He is the one. You are not God's people unless you are under the blood of Jesus. It's not Virgil saying that. It's Scripture. It's Scripture saying it. God is finding a new people. Isaiah says, Paul quotes, for Isaiah says, the Lord, who has believed our message? Faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about, faith comes through hearing. And hearing through the message of Jesus Christ. But I asked, did they not hear? Yes, they did. The voice, it says, their voice gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the inhabited world. That was Paul's message. That was Paul's heart's desire, was to take the message to the ends of the earth. And praise God, he covered, you know, that area and got into Europe even. Praise God that the Greeks and the Gentiles heard and received the message. Because so many of the people that God had chosen rejected him. Paul was a messenger. He was a messenger, which, you know, he was a preacher, a messenger to the Gentiles. That's what he says in Acts, or told of in Acts, how he goes to the Gentiles, Peter goes to the Jews. Yes, Jews were being saved. Yes, the gospel was being preached in some synagogues. And that's where Paul went first, and usually when he came into town, but he was normally rejected. So Paul is going to the Gentile, the not Jew, the not my people, as it says in Scripture, have become my people. And that's what Isaiah is referring to. That's what Paul's reflecting upon. My people have become not my people. But the not my people have become my people. through this message because they have believed in their heart and they have professed with their mouth. Oh, sinner, I'm saying to you today, and you know who I'm talking about. You know you're the one who's sitting there saying, oh, I need Jesus. I need my life changed. I need something different in my life. I need Jesus. I know about him. I've heard about him. I need him. I need my life changed. I need a new life. I need hope. I'm desperate. I need sustenance. I need something to grab hold of. I'm slipping just in my life and in my sanity or in my well-being. I can't do it myself. And that's the message of hope that I'm bringing you today. Believe in your heart. Jesus was risen from the dead. Confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And he will change your life. He will bring you to a place. He will bring you to the mountaintop. We all want to talk about those mountaintop experiences. But I will say to you, when Jesus takes you to the... He only took a few people on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John. You know that... inner circle there. When he was still walking on the earth alive before his crucifixion and ascension, or crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, he took just a hand, three people out of the whole society, a small number, took him on that mount and they saw his glory. They saw Moses and Elijah appear. Remember, Peter said, should we build three tabernacles? And God spoke then. You missed the point, he said. God hit the big buzzer. You're wrong. This is my son. This one, this Jesus, this one whom you see before you today, who has the aura, the glowing, the Shekinah glory about him today. This is the one. He is the distinct one I have sent. He's the only one I have sent. He is the one whom I have chosen. He is mine, and I take delight in him. Meaning, I have chosen him. I am the one who sent him. And today, if you will make him your Lord and Savior. Okay, and we're wrapping up towards the end of the show. We're in the last, past the last one-third, almost in the, we only got maybe 13 minutes left. I'm going to open up the phone lines if you want to call and confess Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. Do it right over here over the airwaves so that people can hear you. You can make this public. You can make your profession of Christ today public. No, you don't have to. But if you're excited about Jesus or you've already done this and you want to say it again, you want to do it over the phone, I'm going to open up the lines. I'm going to do something we ordinarily don't do, but I'm believing. And whether you call in today or not, I'm believing that someone is going to receive this message today and they're going to give their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to put their soul in his hands and he's going to give them a new life. So here's your opportunity. Here's the time, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, the first of chapter 6, today is the day of salvation. Today, this is the appointed time, and today is the day of salvation. I want you to know that. And if you want to call today and make your proclamation, maybe you've never done this before, maybe you want to turn your life, maybe you said a prayer once when you were a kid, maybe you're even baptized. As a kid, maybe even an adult, you were baptized, but you know, you really don't know what for. Really, maybe you just got wet, or maybe you want to sink deeper. You know, I want to share a testimony of a good friend of mine, a guy who came to the Lord, came to Jesus, kind of in an obscure way. He was involved in scouting for several years, and his young son was involved in scouting, so he became a leader in scouts, and he was challenged through scouting. I'm not trying to endorse them. I'm not trying, as Boy Scouts, very ecumenical. That's what they, that's how they present themselves. And, but they bring you to the point of you have to address God and they just drop it in your hands. After that, I'll just be honest with you. I've been a scout, Boy Scout chaplain for a few years now because of that. Because if somebody addresses God, they need to know who this God is. They need to know a way. They don't need to just stop there and realize, hey, there's a God that made the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth. That's good to know that. But they need to know that there's a God who provided salvation through none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been able to affect the lives of several families, several young men. But this one man in particular I'm telling you about, I talked to him later. This is after I'd come along. He was telling me he was presented. They told him he had to do something with God. He had to believe in God. And he said, that's how I became a Christian. I said, well, how's that? And he said, I went home and started reading my Bible by myself, and I realized that Jesus was the answer. And I want to tell you, folks, you don't have to have Virgil, but I'm proclaiming the good news to you today, but I'm just bringing it to you from the Bible. You can pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. It will speak to you. The Bible is living and active. It is God's Word. It's God's message for you today. And this guy who had just overwhelmed me, and at the time he said, I know I don't live very good and all this. I said, it ain't about living good. It's about you confessing Jesus Christ. I said not so many words, but confessing him with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart. He'll make the change. You may say, well, I'm a dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy sinner. And you probably are if you haven't done this. But you can't clean yourself up. He will. He will clean you up. And it may be that, man, from one instant to the next, caller, go ahead and make that call today. Don't wait. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. And yes, it's the devil talking you out of it. It's your old flesh not wanting to turn over. Call in today and give your heart to Jesus on the phone line. The number is 816-792-1140. Or 576-7800. Call the radio station here. We'll put you, announce to the world, we'll put you on the air giving your life to Jesus Christ. Anyway, my friend, he went on and over time we would talk, here and there. And over a couple years we would talk. And I kind of lost a little bit of track of him. He had, his boy had aged out, moved on and stuff. And I seen him just a few weeks ago. And he had this big smile on his face. And he met me. And he works in a scrap yard. He's a tough, rough man. He's a man's man. And he said to me, I'm changed now. It's happened, Virgil. It's real now. And I said, what? It's real. He said, I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ before, but I hadn't turned everything over to him. Now I've turned over my life, my wife, my money, my kids, my family. He went down the list. I've turned it all over to him. He said, I've never done that before, and it's working. He said, my life has changed. Jesus has got a hold of me. And this was this rough and tumble man who came to me and starts telling me. And he couldn't quit telling me. And he said, I'm going to give you a few proofs. He said, let me tell you a couple of stories. He started telling me his testimony, how he'd really sought with his heart. And he got connected with some Christian brothers and started meeting together with him and reading his Bible and studying, let the Holy Spirit really challenge him. And this was a few years removed now from the time that he told me he was Christian, and I believed him. But he never really turned over his life. Today, you may be that one. Call in today if you've never just turned your life over. I'll pray with you. I can't do anything for you. There's no special incantation because Paul says right here, here it is. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's all you have to do. You will be saved. There's no certain words other than Jesus is Lord and come into my life, Jesus. That's what you're doing when you're saying he's Lord. You're putting him in that spot. And this man, he says to me, this rough and tumble guy, he says, you know what? He said, I did something. I was doing something I do all the time, and it really didn't seem like a bad thing. And he said, all of a sudden, I felt really bad. He said, I know it's working now. I know the Bible. I know Jesus is really working. The Holy Spirit's working through me because I felt conviction, he said, for this simply, this thing that seemed very simple, very meaningless. He said, I felt conviction. I know it's real. I've never felt convicted before. And he was so glad that God was convicting him. And he went on to tell me more stories. But I could tell you story after story, folks, of people who their lives have changed. And again, you may think that you're at the bottom of the barrel. You may have hit rock bottom. You know, I hadn't had a chance to share this, but a while back, a hacker got a hold of my friend's Facebook and started messaging me, and I picked up right away it was a hacker. And I started sharing the gospel through the messages on that hacker. And they confessed that they were a hacker. They confessed they were trying to get money from me. They confessed that they had made up some stories. And I got to sharing Jesus with them. And that hacker confessed Jesus over those messages. I said, now, are you going to message? I called him out. I said, you're a sinner, you're a liar, and you need Jesus. And this person, in this very brief interaction that we had, went from trying to steal money from me. They ended up telling me a story. They had a sick daughter or something. Whether that's even true or not, I said, well, you know, I can't do much about your sick daughter, and money probably wouldn't even help you. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can introduce the cure for your sin. I can introduce to you the cure for your worries, the cure for your cares, and the cure for your family is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, will you accept him? And this person did. They responded to me, yes, yes, I want to. And I took pictures of the post because later Facebook caught on to what it was and they took it all down. Folks, you are not out of God's reach. Again, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. You may not be looking for God today. You may hear this message and you may think you're fine living the good old life. But if you don't know Jesus, then you're not God's. You may not even be looking for God today, but if this message has pricked your heart, call into this radio station. Again, 816-792-1140, 816-576-7800. If you got this message, call later in the week. If you don't want to do it today, you don't want to be on the air, I don't know why. I know some of us are timid or whatever, but I would love, we've got just a few minutes left for a caller to call in here and receive Jesus today. Don't wait. Don't be talked out of it. We missed a call a while ago. If that was you, call back. This is your chance. This is the time. This is the message for you folks. And then you can take this message. You can be the one who has the beautiful feet on the mountain telling the good news. The gospel. That's what the gospel is good news. That's where we get our word for evangelism, spreading the good news. That's where we get our term for evangelist. It's no great theological term. It just means sharing, one who's preaching, proclaiming the good news. Now, God has gifted some of us to just do that, the gift of evangelist, but he's called all of us to do the work. Even the pastor, Paul says, do the work of evangelist. He's called all of us to share the good news, to proclaim the message. Are you going to be that one today? Don't delay. We only have a couple minutes left. Make that call. 792-1140, 576-7800. Don't be talked out of it. If you want to show Satan who's boss, and you want to show the world who's king, call in and confess the Lord Jesus Christ today. Oh, it would make me so happy, but you know, you don't have to impress me. But you do have to make things right with your God. And to do that, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that God raised him from the dead. And believe, resulting in righteousness, he will make you righteous. And then confess with your heart, with your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart, that Jesus is Lord. You will be saved. There's not a question mark there. There's not an exception there. You will be saved. Again, we've run out of time today for you to call to be on the air live, but call us. If you hear this show or you think about this later in the week and you take the knee, call the radio station. Leave a message if you have to. Let us know. Man, if you call in, we'll have you give your testimony on the next show or something. We'll make room for you. We'll let you share your experience to encourage others. Again, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. The salvation.